Good morning. It's good to see that some of you guys stayed till Monday Chapel. And we always have incredible singing and people leading us in singing. And every now and then we have to say goodbye. Kelsey Miller is going to graduate next month. And so let's say thanks for Kelsey leading us and singing this morning. Okay, great. Well, about a month ago was fall break, and Jen and I decided to grab our girls and go to Gatlinburg, Tennessee. And I know it's not your first choice of where to go for fall break, but when you've got two little girls, man, there is great entertainment in Gatlinburg. And I wanted to tell you about some entertainment that we got that we didn't pay for. We were going out for dinner on a late at night on Friday night, and we pulled up just about two blocks off the main street in Gatlinburg, and Jen and I were on one side of the car getting Molly ready and kind of dressed and just ready to go, and Ellie was over on the other side just kind of playing around in the parking lot, and about 50 feet away were a couple of guys that were talking pretty loud, just almost screaming, and I really wasn't registering with it. Jen and I were sitting there with Molly, and all of a sudden, I listened to what they were saying, and I heard them say, "There's bears, get in your car." I was like, "All right, I'm listening to that." So I grabbed Molly, I threw her to Jen, and I pushed them in, and I jumped in the passenger seat, so all three of us were in the passenger seat. I shut the door. I looked back. Ellie listened too. So she had gotten in the car. She was in her seat and the door was wide open. I said, "Ellie, shut your door." So she shut her door. And we still hadn't seen anything. We looked out the front window the second our doors were shut. And at the end of our hood was a mama bear and two baby bears walking down the sidewalk. They got to the, just like the other side of our car, and on the other side of the sidewalk were two or three sets of trash cans. So they're just like climbing up, pulling these trash cans over, ripping this stuff out, kind of pulling it onto the sidewalk. Jen's like grabbing for the camera, and she's like, "My camera doesn't have any battery left." And we're sitting there just watching these bears rip this trash out, and we're thinking, why did we pay $10 yesterday to go see bears behind, you know, like all this cage stuff? It's a true story. And in the hotel room that night, we kind of snuggled up next to Ellie Kay and we kind of went, "Arr!" And we just got close and we said, "Ellie, I'm so glad those bears didn't eat you." And, you know, we just kind of kept it going. So the next day, we're waking up and we're driving home and we're just like, "Ellie, were you scared? I mean, those bears were like on your side of the car." And we were just saying it again and again. "We're so glad that you're okay." And that night we were at home and we were kind of doing the same thing, snuggling up to Ellie going, "Arr!" And saying, "I'm so glad that you're okay." And so I couldn't wait to tell you guys the bear story in chapel. And I knew this morning that I was going to be speaking about Thanksgiving because of where we are. But I wasn't sure what this story had to do with Thanksgiving until it hit me. Do you ever notice how we become more grateful for a relationship when there has been a threat of losing that relationship? And it gets us to a different place of gratitude. Why is it that when we lose something or lose someone, that we often realize after the fact how much we failed to say thanks before that, or how we might have missed opportunities to say, "I love you"? And I think these questions are ones that we have to ask if we are really going to live lives of gratitude and get ourselves to deeper places of doing that. Because human nature And the sinful nature, it defaults into taking relationships for granted rather than holding them in some kind of position of gratitude and being thankful. And the scripture that we heard this morning as we sang was from Psalm 107. And so if you want to follow along, that's where we are this morning. As I was reading this passage just about 2 or 3 weeks ago, it started sinking into me the depth of the biblical story that's here in Psalm 107. In the New Testament, we think of scriptures like 1 Thessalonians 5 that says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." But in this Old Testament psalm, there's really a great example of how God's people, the Israelites, practiced thanksgiving. This psalm was most likely written to be a liturgy for one of their annual festivals, an event that they came to every year. And it was written for them to sing so that they would never be too far away from the Lord's enduring love and for the great ways that God had acted on behalf of his people. They never wanted to grow too far away from remembering all of that. And so what is there for us to learn from this psalm? The Israelites didn't really have to be threatened with losing a relationship in order to be thankful. Instead, the Israelites practiced almost the opposite of that. They actually practiced remembering what God had done. And I know this is a simple little word thing, but that word remember, every time I hear it, I think of it breaking it down. Remember. It's as if we've kind of separated ourselves from something. And to remember it is to bring it back for it to become a member again of our thinking, for it to become a member again of our heart, and for us to be reconnected to that experience or that event, bringing it back into our identity. And that's what was going on in Psalm 107. And it opens up simply saying, "Give thanks to the Lord and let the redeemed tell their story." When I started working at Asbury for the first time in 1997, the freshman class was the redeemed class. And they always said, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." And that "so" is the telling of our story. And Psalm 107 tells the story so that the Israelites can be reconnected to what God had done. And so I want us to look at three stanzas here to hear at least three different groups of people, how God redeemed them. And you'll hear this pattern in each one of these stanzas. And this is the pattern. It's almost like a pie that can be cut into three pieces. And that first piece of remembering is who they were before they were redeemed. Who were you before that? The second piece is when they returned to the Lord and he responded. That's the second piece of the pie. And the third piece is this giving thanks because God's love is unfailing and because he's acted in our lives. And that's the third piece. So with this passage hitting at least three different groups of people that were redeemed, I pray that you may be able to find yourself in one of these groups. Or you may be able to hear the Lord speak to some specific way that you're reconnected to how he's worked in your life. Verses 4 and 5 said this: "Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away."
This first piece of the pie is like an aimlessness. A point where for them, life was pointless. Friendships not meaningful, work unrewarding, school not having any meaning. And in the midst of that, there may be a hunger, but somehow just existing overrides that and just kind of being in survival mode. But in this psalm, we hear that there's a breaking point that comes. You know, what exists before the breaking point can sometimes be this going on in our minds. Many times we choose the hell of what we know and what is predictable instead of potential joy and that which may be unpredictable. Sometimes we choose the hell over what we know over the potential joy of what we do not know. But the Israelites came to a place where they said, we want no more of the predictable. And they came and they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. And you hear it in the same phrase that he delivered them from their distress. And so what's this second piece of the pie, this place of change, is becoming desperate for God himself to get us out of survival mode and out of just being in a place of aimlessness. And if God has redeemed you in this way, give thanks, because he is a God of unfailing love, and he is a God who has acted on our behalf. Before, the Israelites were in a place of wandering aimlessly, but now that they've moved past change and we get into this third piece of the pie, this is what the psalm says. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. He satisfies the hungry. He satisfies the thirsty. And he fills the hungry with good things. That is God's answer. And this first stanza is the place that I identify in the way that Jesus showed up in my life. Because it was a place of no direction. In a place of being aimless and not finding a place to settle. And so it's the place that I really get challenged to live in thanksgiving, being reconnected to that, to how God came and rescued me from that place. Last week I heard a pastor kind of give this suggestion. He said that we should practice taking 15 minutes a day for the next 7 days to go on a walk and to just give thanks, to not at any point during that make it a time of request, but to just give thanks. And of course, when I heard that, I turned to my wife and I said, Jen, that's a great idea. I'm preaching on Thanksgiving. Maybe I can use that idea. And then I turned to her and I said, you know, it's not using that idea in a sermon that makes any difference. But what makes a difference is whether or not I integrate that into my life. And I myself practice that a deeper heart of gratitude would be cultivated in me. You know, most of us really won't be very challenged on Thursday to come up with things that we're thankful for. But our challenge is more in the daily grind to get to a deeper place of being grateful. That's our challenge, is how do we get there every day and live there? And another challenge that we have is to deal with this list that kind of goes on within us. It's the list that comes up with these bullet points and says, God, whenever you do something here, then I'll be thankful. This list that kind of says, Lord, whenever you provide for this, then I'll get to a place of being grateful. In this first group, they were hungry and they were thirsty. And the Lord satisfied them. And so they came to a place of thanksgiving. The second group, verses 10 and 11. Some sat in darkness, in utter darkness, prisoners suffering in iron chains, because they rebelled against God's commands and despised the plans of the Most High. The first piece of pie for the Israelites, this was most likely talking about their imprisonment in Babylon when they were banished and held captive there. But the word prisoner in other places in the Old Testament can be used in a more broad way of than just a literal prisoner. It's used for other kinds of distress that was going on in people's lives. Yes, for the Israelites, they had strayed from the Lord, and so there was this captivity that they were taken into. Consequences, it seemed to be. But if you relate to this group, and if you relate to God redeeming in this way, redeeming from prison, maybe this is the biggest message at this point in the psalm. That even if you sense that you're suffering some consequences or being disciplined for sin, that even in that place, God hears our cry. Even in that place, God hears us call out in ways that we're asking for help. And that's what they did. And the Lord responded to hearing them in their trouble. And he saved them from their distress. And so the second piece of the pie at this point is becoming desperate for the Lord to take us past consequences, past guilt, past shame. And if the character of Yahweh God was to respond to the Israelites in that way, the character of Jesus will respond to your cries in the same way. If God has moved in you and you've been there and you hear that kind of redemption, give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and for the way that he's worked in your life. For them, before they were in darkness and they were prisoners, but now in the third piece of the pie, this is the place that they are living. God breaks down gates of bronze and he cuts through bars of iron. And this stanza in the psalm reminds me exactly of what John Weiss shared with us last week. That our greatest reason to give thanks is the cross. That's our deepest place to give thanks this week. And Oswald Chambers really drove that message home in something he says on November the 20th in My Utmost for His Highest. The thing that awakens the deepest fountain of gratitude in a human being is that God has forgiven our sin. That's the deepest place of gratitude that's awakened. And Chambers says the Apostle Paul never got away from this. Once you realize that it cost God to forgive you, you will be held as in a vice, constrained by the love of God. There's not really a pleasant feeling that comes when we think about being held in a vice, but Oswald Chambers uses it to talk about the way God's love can hold us. And if you're living in the middle of that kind of grip, That's the place of gratitude. And that's the place that we're invited to live in. The third group, verses 17 to 18 in the psalm. Some became fools through their rebellious ways, and they suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food, and they drew near the gates of death. It was on Friday that Mike Cuckler talked about fools from Proverbs. The naive, the foolish, the mocker. This psalm of the Israelites, it even gives hope to the foolish. In the first piece of the pie, who they were before, it was beyond aimlessness. It was total rebellion. They were experiencing suffering because of choices that they had made. You know, it could have been physical. It could have been emotional suffering. Maybe it was legal or relational suffering. They were so rebellious that they were not even hungry or thirsty for anything of God. It was that kind of rebellion. And if you've been in that place, you may know this, that it's only when the risk of changing becomes more appealing than the comfort of living in destructiveness that change can come. And that's what happened to this third group. They turned to the Lord, crying out in their trouble, and God saved them in their distress. The second piece of the pie involves becoming absolutely desperate for God to do a shift from rebellion and rescue from the gates of death. And that's what happened to the Israelites. And then just talking about that shift for a second. When the people of Israel get reconnected and they remember how they had cried to the Lord, and they remember how God had acted in the past, when those things are reconnected to our identity, what happens is that God shows up right where you are. God shows up in the present when we remember what he has done in the past. I look back to one season in my life, and it was really hard for me to find anything in the aftermath of my father's death that I could be thankful for. And it's hard. If you've been there, you know that when someone dies before it's time, that's a tough loss, and that is a hard loss. It took me 5 years just to get to a place where my heart softened, where it wasn't being covered up by other stuff. And I'm really not sure that I ever need to be thankful that my father was taken away before it was time. But I came to this point where I said, God, I'm thankful for the 17 years I had him. Because some people don't even get that. And I was thankful for the relationship that I was given for that amount of time. He's a God that redeems. In this third group, people were redeemed from being foolish and rebellious. And they came to the place of saying, God, thanks for your unfailing love and for the way that you've acted. Before they were fools even to the point of being at the gates of death. But now, as they're being reconnected to it, they're living in this third piece of the pie. They're living at this place where God has sent his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. This is what God is doing in this psalm. He's calling us to give thanks for the way he's redeemed us and to be reconnected to that. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we hunger for that which is deeper, to really be connected to why we can give thanks. And Lord, that you would take us farther in living a life of gratitude. God, I pray those words from Colossians, that as we have received Christ as our Lord, God, that your Spirit would enable us to continue living in him. And Lord, this week, may we live lives that are overflowing with thanksgiving. And Lord, from this week, would you cultivate in us a way to live that way every day? And we ask these things in Jesus' name.